What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. If you guys are picking between picks 5 and picks 8 in your fantasy football drafts, this is the video for you. We're going to be going through all of our strategy details of the mid first round picks 5, 6, 7, and 8. At the end of this video, we'll do two dueling mock drafts, pick 5, pick 8, and then pick 6 and pick 7. We'll cover shallow league strategy, deep league strategy, everything you guys need to know for this area of the draft and all the targets and the fades and the value pockets that we're targeting. So should be a fun video. We already did this for picks 1-4. If you guys want to check that out, picks 9-12 will be coming out tomorrow. As you guys are watching this, we are actually in Texas. So yeah, if you guys are Texas natives or whatever, we are having a meetup on the Thursday at a local bar. Check out the link down below in the description for that. But Danny, are you ready to get into this thing? We should get right into the top 36 tier list and kind of how we want to attack this thing.
Yeah, and like you mentioned with the 1-4 video, if you guys have already watched it, it was a pretty clear top three there with your CeeDee Lamb, with your Christian McCaffrey, with your Tyreek Hill. Whereas the 5-8 area is, for the most part, pretty even across the board, whether you choose to build around Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, Amon-Ra, you know, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. Of course, one of them will be gone at that fourth overall pick, but if you pick in the 5-8 range, you're really just making a pick at who potentially remains, specifically at the 8 spot. Obviously at the 5 spot, 6 spot, 7 spot, you will have to make a decision point, but it's not like you're deciding one guy clearly ahead of the other. It's more so just, what's your flavor? You want to build around a running back? You want to build around, you know, the potential highest upside wide receiver? You want a safe wide receiver? I mean, it's really the pick of the litter for how you want to structure your fantasy football teams if you're picking in the mid portion of your drafts.
Yeah, and of course, our rankings of these players will vary a little bit. We've noticed in home leagues, and this includes in like kind of full PPR formats where you can start up to 4 wide receivers, it is nice to get that anchor running back with Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson. Those are the guys that we do currently favor at this point in time. But of course, if you're in a really sharp league format where people aren't going to draft running backs early and you know you can get running back values later, you could always take an Amon-Ra St. Brown, a Jamar Chase, a Justin Jefferson, somebody like that. So I think it's pretty clear who the targets are in the first round for this area. Whichever guy you like in this range, you could definitely make the argument for any which one being the fourth overall player in fantasy this year. I personally have them ranked Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson. I think you, the only difference you might have, actually, do you have that in the same order as well?
So currently, because of the news with JJ McCarthy getting hurt, I actually do have it Amon-Ra, Jamar Chase, Jefferson in that order. So yeah, we actually agree here.
Yeah, before I believe you were a lot higher on Jefferson than I was. But regardless, if you guys do have that pick, you're on the board 6th overall. Bijan and Breece are already off the board. St. Brown's our next overall player, so on and so forth. When it comes to the 2nd and 3rd round with this area of the draft, you're obviously going to get one of your anchors. I would say whatever position your anchor is, let's say it's Breece in the first round, you probably want to take an anchor at the other position in round 2. So if you take Breece Hall in the first round, you're going to be looking mainly at this tier of Drake London, Saquon Barkley, Nico Collins, Devon Achane, Jonathan Taylor, so on and so forth. And those guys, I would say you probably want to lean the wide receiver if you took Breece in the first round. So if you take Breece in round 1, you want to probably take Drake London in round 2, for example. Or if you take Amon-Ra St. Brown in round 1, you probably want to take Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Devon Achane in round 2. So it's kind of going to depend. Again, you could definitely go double hero RB, especially if it's like a 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 flex half PPR league, and you wanted to go Breece Hall in round 1, Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor, Devon Achane in round 2, and then catch up at wide receiver later on in the draft. It's all pick your flavor. It's all going to be about which players you value highest. For me, I like getting one of each kind of in the first 2 rounds just because I want to be strong at both of those positions.
Yeah, and the one caveat I will actually say is much different in the 5-8 range rather than the 1-4 ranges. The reason why we love having an early pick this year is that you kind of get your pick of the litter in the 3rd round. Whereas, for example, if you're picking at the 308, Like, your second and third round decisions are absolutely more consequential. If you do decide to take a second running back, despite taking one at the eighth overall pick, then you're kind of at the mercy of the draft board. Because quite frankly, what if like Pacheco is the best available player in the third round and you have to make the decision? Do I want to start three running backs, which structurally we should never do? Or do I want to take, you know, a wide receiver like Devontae Smith, who I have projected lower? There's a lot more potential consequences to the decision you make when you're picking in the 5-8 range versus in the 1-4 range. So like you said, typically if you can start balance and really open yourself up to potentially, you know, in the third round, fourth round area, just taking your favorite best player available, you're going to be able to concoct a more optimal draft strategy versus if you just take, you know, two wide receivers off the rip or two running backs off the rip, you're kind of left at the mercy of the draft board.
Yeah. And I think in the 1-4 range, I mentioned that my favorite strategy is double hero RB, whether you structure that where you take McCaffrey in the first round and then one of those 2-3 turn running backs like Achane, like Pacheco, like Etienne, like Kyren in the second or the third round, or whether you go with a wide receiver in the first round like CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, and then you double tap running backs at the 2-3 turn area. I actually think that hero running back makes the most sense in this area of the draft because either you're taking your hero like Bijan Brees type of guy in the first round, and then you want to maybe hammer out wide receiver value, tight end, quarterback value beyond that point, or potentially you take Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase in the first round, and then you get yourself a Saquon Barkley, a Jonathan Taylor, Devon Achane, somebody like that in the second round to anchor your running back core. To me, I don't feel like it's optimal to go double hero RB in this area of the board just because you might miss the tier break, like you said, at wide receiver in that mid third round area. If you can get and you know for sure that a Jalen Waddle, a Nico Collins, somebody like that would fall to you in the third round, then by all means go double hero RB. But for me and most of my draft rooms, that doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. That is a point to keep in mind. As long as you can stay realistically, the main way we want to be attacking the board this year is, can you get three players up until that 2-3 turn pick area? In your first three rounds, the worst player I want to be leaving in the third round with is a Malik Nabers, is a Davante Adams, is a Mike Evans. Because as much as I like, you know, DVS, DJ Moore, Sam Laporta, DK Metcalf, as much as I like those guys, I really don't see much of a difference between taking them in the mid third versus potentially what we'll talk about in the 9-12 video, more so profiling as 3-4 turn picks.
Yeah, and I think if you're going to take one of those early two tight ends, Kelsey, Laporta, and even the other two quarterbacks too, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, I think the mid portion of the board makes the most sense as far as which pick I would do that from. Because, for example, you could start your draft with Breece Hall, grab Nico Collins or Brandon Ayuk or Drake London in the second round. And then in round three, if Sam Laporta or Kelsey falls to you, I think that's a fine deviation to make. Or if you have a quarterback scoring format where you want to take Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, it makes some sense to do it at that point. Because I think in round four, in round five, round six, and round seven, you should still be catching good portions of the tier breaks at wide receiver. So I think if you're going to take Kelsey or Laporta, I probably wouldn't do it from an early pick. And I probably wouldn't do it from a late pick either, unless they fell all the way back to you, obviously, at the 3-4 turn.
See, I personally am not willing to press the button on, I mean, Kelsey, I'm willing to, but specifically Laporta and the quarterbacks in the mid third round portion. They're more so guys where if I can get one falling to me in the fourth, I would take him there. But as long as, you know, a Kyren, a Kupp, a Evans, an Adams, a Nabers, one of those 2-3 turn pick tier players are on the board, I would much rather have one of those players, basically, is what I'm trying to say. I don't want to be left in a position where I need to take a onesie because all those players are wiped out.
Yeah, it's tough sometimes to gauge when it's a good value to do this, because a guy like Kelsey, I can say, oh, I would love to take him if he falls to the 308, but like the dude's like one of the biggest names in fantasy football, so there's a very good chance he's not going to be on the board for me to make that decision anyway. So league mates are probably going to be taking players like that to begin with. But I will say too, zero RB is viable from this area of the board. Let's say, for example, you take Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ja'Marr Chase, somebody like that in round one. In a zero RB, the reason you would execute one is because you're getting good value at wide receiver. And hypothetically, if you took St. Brown in round one and you're getting good value at wide receiver, maybe Marvin Harrison, Puka Nacua, or Drake London is on the board for you in round two. You take one of those guys in round three. Again, if good value is falling to you at wide receiver because you're running a zero RB, you could take Nico Collins with your third pick and you go Ja'Marr Chase, Drake London, Nico Collins to start your draft. Then in round four, round five, you could potentially bang out quarterback and tight end if you needed to and build out yourself a nice zero RB. We've already talked about, we don't think this is the optimal year to do zero RB, but at the same time, I think if you're going to do it, I think it actually makes the most sense from this area of the board.
Yeah, completely agree. The other caveat would be, again, we'll talk about in the 9 to 12 video, but if you're picking 10, 11, 12, and really for us personally, the only running back we'd be willing to take at that portion of the draft would be Jahmyr Gibbs. But I mean, some people are going to really like Saquon Barkley. Some people are going to really like Jonathan Taylor. I do feel like early and late portions of your draft, I'm much more willing to draft a running back versus, again, when you're in the mid portion, you're kind of, like I said, at the mercy of the draft board, where if Kyren, JT, you know, Achan, Gibbs, all these running backs are off the board, you kind of have to pivot to a zero running back in this mid portion.
Which is precisely why we made the decision to put Breece and Bijan at 4 and 5, because it makes more sense that if you want to get a running back early, it makes sense to do it in round one as opposed to round two or round three, because you're generally going to get better wide receiver values there. So in the mid rounds, we talked about it in the 1 to 4 video, but essentially what you're going to do is catch up at wide receiver, avoid the running back dead zone. I think in this area of the draft, as we talked about for 1 to 4, it does make sense to deviate for an elite tight end in either round 4 or in round 5, depending on what part of the board you're at wide receiver. So for example, if you're on the board in mid round 4, to me, it feels a little early for Trey McBride, for Kyle Pitts, Dalton Kincaid, guys like that. But if the wide receiver position has completely dried up and you don't have Metcalf, you don't have DJ Moore, you don't have Devontae Smith, you don't have Malik Nabers on the board, then I'm okay making a deviation for Trey McBride at that point in time. I actually think the best spot to deviate for a tight end, if you're picking here, is the mid 5th, because I think you should have one of Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews, or Dalton Kincaid fall to you.
Yeah, like, again, this is the big difference between home league versus underdog drafts, where in the mid 4th, sometimes on underdog, you can get a falling Kelce, you can get a falling Laporta, because those guys are more than likely to be off the board in the 4th round. I don't want to be pushing up the Andrews, the McBride, the next tier of tight ends into the 4th. I would rather, instead of taking the top of that tier in the 4th, wait to see who the end of that tier is able to fall to me in the 5th. And yes, I do actually view Pitts, Kincaid, guys like that, as well be in this tier. So for me personally, there's like 4 or 5 tight ends that I'm comfortable with taking in the mid 5th. Why would I take a tight end in the 4th just to be taking the top of that tier, when I know the difference in 4th to 5th round receivers is pretty big this year? Because we're looking at potentially in the mid 4th, guys like, you know, DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupp, Devontae Smith, guys like that, versus once you get to the 5th, you're more so looking at Amari Cooper, Christian Kirk. Some of you guys may like Terry McLaurin. I think he's extremely overvalued, but I digress. Keenan Allen, you know, guys like that. There's a big difference between those guys versus your DVS, your DK Metcalf, Cooper Kupps of the world.
Yeah, I also think, too, we talked about in the 1 to 4 video, you're not likely to catch the top 4 quarterbacks. For us, that would be Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson. But in this area of the draft, you are actually quite likely to catch those guys in the 4th round area. If quarterbacks are falling in your league and Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, even Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson are on the board for you in the mid 4th, I'm definitely willing to pull the trigger there if you don't want to take an elite tight end, or if you maybe want to grab an elite quarterback first and then maybe an elite tight end in round 5. You can really function it in a way that you really want to. I actually really do like this area of the draft board. I think that picking 1 to 3, I think, is the ideal spot to draft from, but the second best spot to me to draft from this year is probably like 5, 6, or 7, where you catch all of these tier breaks in an ideal world, where you can get a tier break in the 2nd round, a tier break in the 3rd round, a tier break in the 4th round, especially if you guys are experienced fantasy players or using our rankings or something like that, and you realize where the tier breaks actually lie. I think that definitely makes some sense. So we've been talking mumbo jumbo hypotheticals this entire time. We are going to actually put this advice into action, doing a mock draft first in a shallow league format, a 2 wide receiver, 1 flex, half PPR. You will be picking from the 5 spot. I will be picking from the 8 slot. And then the second mock draft we're going to do will be a full PPR, 2 wide receiver, 2 flex, a little bit of a deeper starting lineup format. And we'll do that. I'll be picking from the 6 spot. You'll be picking from the 7 slot. So let's start with the first mock draft. All right, so we are now into the mock draft, the first mock draft. Like I said, this will be more of your shallower league format. Running backs are going to be a little bit more valuable in this format. Wide receivers a little bit undervalued in this format. As we talked about in the strategy portion, if you are in a format like this, we definitely tend to lean towards Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson with these picks. So is that direction you're going to go with that 105 pick?
Yeah, and a little sneak peek, if you guys haven't already watched the 1-4 video, I did take Breece Hall at the 4th overall pick, so I'll mix it up. I took Breece Hall last time. Let's do the same build, but around Bijan Robinson this time.
Yeah, am I going to get... Oh, I was hoping I would get Breece Hall at the 108 there.
Yeah, that would have been a pipe dream. That would have been crazy.
Yep. So again, we view a tier break after these top 8 overall players. Specifically for me, it's almost like a top 7, and then Jefferson's own in his own mini tier now that JJ McCarthy is. I'm on the page that JJ McCarthy was actually an upside, you know, part
I agree,
of
but
Jefferson's case. So... For me, I'm a little worried that it's Sam Darnold all year, but
it might be the best receiver
I'm on
of all time
Browns pick that I have here.
Yeah, I can't go that far. I'm fine putting him at the end of the tier, but we're still talking about probably the best receiver talent. Maybe not of all time, because like I think personally he could be on that potential, you know, stratosphere, but at least in the NFL currently.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I'm on the board here. This is an interesting decision point, right? Because I took St. Brown in the first round to half PPR league, two wide receiver, one flex, not very conducive to going zero RB, for example. I'm on the board. Do I want to capitulate here and take myself an anchor running back like Travis Etienne, like Devon Achane, or do I want to grab the best value on the board, which in my opinion would be Drake London at the wide receiver position, and hope that something falls back to me there in the third or the fourth round? I have the James Cook bullet in my back pocket in the fourth. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my best available player here with Drake London. Plus, I've taken Devon Achane in like every draft that we've done so far for these strategy videos, but it would come down to Drake London versus Devon Achane. And to be honest, in a real draft, I might lean Devon Achane, just knowing that I'm probably going to be behind the
happy PR shallow lineup.
Yeah, I might consider doing that, but I'm going to go with Drake London here and kind of hope that I can get something falling back to me in the third, fourth area.
I mean, I'll take it as a treat, to be honest. In a shallow half PPR league, like, I know I'm going to be able to catch back up a wide receiver. Again, if this is a full PPR big lineup setting, like we'll talk about in the next mock draft, yeah, I'm going to be taking a wide receiver here. But specifically knowing your league market settings, again, this is why this matters so much. There's no reason for me not to take Devon Achane here. Like, I understand that I kind of, you know, I'm doing a similar start to last video, but in a shallow league starting format, like, I'm grabbing these two anchors and I'm not touching the running back position for the rest of the draft.
Yeah. And again, maybe this is an experimental process for me where I don't like how my team turns out and I don't do this again. You know what I mean? Like, this is why you do mock drafts. If I see this St. Brown, Drake London start and I think, oh, you know what, I can probably get a running back later and I can't, then I probably wouldn't do this in my actual draft. But it's a good thing that we have your experimental double hero that your team might look a lot better than mine versus mine kind of taking what the draft gives me, which was, in my opinion, the two best values on the board were wide receivers.
Yeah, like I mentioned at the top that you want to stay balanced, but when you're getting this elite type of value, especially in a shallower form, again, we're going to see a lot more balance in the bigger starting lineup, but right now I'm comfortable building around two running backs. Speaking of, I mean, Nico Collins is just going to be my pick every single time when he falls to the third. I hate having such a similar team the last time, but there's no reason for me to deviate from it if it's just this much value.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think it's a smidge early on James Cook here. He is ranked about this range for me. I don't want to get locked out at running back completely, so I'm going to take James Cook here. To me, I'm going to get a good wide receiver on the way back. Again, maybe this is why you don't go in this direction, because I just had to take James Cook over Jalen Waddle, Debo Samuel. But again, I have James Cook ranked in the late third round area. So to me, it's not really a reach. It's more so just the guys that I drafted James Cook over. And again, in hindsight, maybe I go with Achane over Drake London and hope that I grab the 2v2 of, let's say, Achane and Waddle or Achane and Debo versus Drake London and James Cook. That's the decision that you have to make on the board. But again, we're still experimenting here. We're still trying to see exactly what works for us on the board. Again, I'm not going to go back to the running back position here. To me, I don't view Joe Mixon, Kenneth Walker, those type of guys as players I want to spend fourth round draft picks on. If they were on the board for me with my fifth round pick, I'd probably pull the trigger. But for me, they're a little early, a little overvalued at this point in time. I'm going to be looking between DJ Moore, Malik Nabers, and Cooper Kupp, one of these guys to potentially add to my team. I already have some investments into some offenses I really believe in, St. Brown, Drake London, and James Cook. I'm going to swing big time upside for my flex spot, and I'm going to go with Malik Nabers as my fourth round pick here. Again, maybe you would have taken Cooper Kupp there. It's not really the important part of the video, which players we would take. It's more so structurally what we're trying to get across here. And again, maybe you could say I made a mistake by going with a running back in the third round as opposed to the second round. But again, that's why we do mocks.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you made my decision easy. I was going between Nabers, DJ Moore, and Cooper Kupp, and Cooper Kupp's the one that fell. So feeling really good about this. Shallow starting lineup, two anchors at the top, two receivers I feel very good about. And I mean, cross my fingers, potentially a tight end I could build around, which, yeah, I mean, McBride would have been the most ideal, but I'm perfectly fine in a shallow starting lineup being able to get a tight end advantage here with a guy like Kyle Pitts. So you can make the argument, you know, if you prefer Kincaid, you prefer George Kittle, I'll hear you out. But I do really like Kyle Pitts in the fifth, especially because I don't have many flex spots here.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely a fair assessment there. I'm really annoyed that Kincaid did not fall to me. I think that would have been a great, great spot to be able to grab an elite tight end for me there. I do have Kittle ranked in this range as well. So I'm probably going to go in that direction, but it is really, really hard knowing that T. Higgins is on the board for me, and I would love to just draft him. But again, I already have my three starters at wide receiver. I have it's two wide receiver, one flex league. I already have St. Brown, Drake London, and Neighbors. And again, going back to my previous decision, it would have been a lot nicer to have St. Brown, Neighbors, and T. Higgins as my two wide receivers, one flex, and having already drafted a running back earlier on in the draft. But I'm going to grab George Kittle here. To me, I think that he's a fine value at that point in time. Hopefully something falls back to me at either potential quarterback. I could go maybe back to the running back position. Joe Burrow actually went the running back position. Again, we're amidst the running back dead zone right now. To me, yeah. I like Ramondre Stevenson. This would just feel like a little sixth early round for me.
No.
Yeah. If I was picking like say 6'11", 6'12", and he was the best available running back for me on the board and my team was in this predicament, I might consider taking Ramondre Stevenson at that point. But to me, it just feels a smidge early. So what I'm going to do is take a complete upside swing at the, you know what? I'm a little bit weaker at running back, so I want to be stronger at the other positions. I'm going to grab Kyler Murray with this selection here. Unfortunately, maybe sniping you on Kyler Murray, but I feel like it was maybe overkill to take another receiver there, knowing I can get good value later. So I went with the quarterback tiebreak there.
Yeah, I think that's a good pick. No other quarterbacks I'd be willing to take at this spot. Like you mentioned, the running back position, especially knowing I invested too early, does not seem the way to go. Yeah, I think it's just going to be back to the wide receiver well, whether you like Worthy here, you know, Adunze, Jaden Reed, a lot of really top options. I'm going to take Jaden Reed because I'm going to hope I can potentially pair him up with Jordan Love.
Yeah, no, I think that's probably a fair assessment that you should be able to get Love at 7-5. I don't know if you want to pick him that high. Maybe
I want to take him on the way back.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it's possible. We already, like, I 6 has a quarterback, 7 has a quarterback, I have a quarterback, 9 has a quarterback. Everybody but Team 10 has a quarterback, so I guess he would be your only real risk. But it looks, yeah, he probably will take Jordan Love, if I had to guess.
So maybe with the process, again, like, just to give you guys the best look at the team, again, the difference at wide receiver between, I love Rome Odunze, I love Xavier Worthy, but I can potentially get, like, JSN or Brian Thomas later on. For the purpose of the exercise, I'll just put Jordan Love in here because it is a shallow starting lineup. So maybe you want to get your quarterback early. And looking at the opportunity bundles of Caleb plus Odunze versus Love plus like Brian Thomas Jr., I think I would prefer the Love side there.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely fair. I grabbed Jonathan Brooks in the last draft that I ended up doing, but I am going to grab him again because I do believe he's the best available value on the board from the running back position. Again, when I'm in a position like I'm in right now where I kind of need upside at the running back position because my position group is not really filled out, my wide receiver position is pretty strong with the three studs that I took already. So I'm gonna stay in that direction and roll with Jonathan Brooks there. I'd have a decision to be made at this selection. Again, we are only doing an 8-round mock draft. I don't know if I mentioned that earlier on, but late rounds, obviously I could fill out my wide receiver, my running back depth at that point in time. I have a decision point to make here where do I go in the direction of another running back with Javonte Williams or Jalen Warren or somebody like that? Or do I just grab the best available player, which to me is very clearly Rashee Rice on the board right now. So that is going to be the direction I go. Again, I feel confident that on the way back in the 9th round, should we draft more players, I could get Javonte Williams, Jalen Warren, even like Brian Robinson, Tajay Spears, those type of guys. I'd feel pretty comfortable with any of those guys being my RB2 to start the season until Jonathan Brooks gets back. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab Rashee Rice here, who to me, between Malik Neighbors and Rashee Rice, you're swinging for pure upside in your flex spot, knowing that your first two picks were spent on wide receiver. You got to bet that those guys are going to hit for you.
Yeah, for sure. Now I'm on the clock here. There's a lot of potential names I can consider, but knowing it's a half PPR, knowing that I have relative stability, again, I understand I technically waited at wide receiver, but like I mentioned with Nico, I feel really confident about Cooper Kupp. I get is more of an upside play because he's kind of been a guy that's been in and out of the lineup in terms of injury status, but when he is healthy, he is a very safe week-to-week option. Jaden Reed, upside shot. I want to get another upside shot here with the half PPR in mind, and I mean, based off all the camp news, especially joint practices with your Buccaneers, apparently every DB is talking about this guy. Todd Bowles talked about him himself, but like Brian Thomas apparently is just the next coming of Randy Moss at these practices. Like he's burning guys every single snap, it almost feels like. So at this point, again, this is a guy that I was already high on in the pre-draft cycle. My only question mark was how quickly would he be acclimated to NFL type of reps? And by all accounts, it seems like he's picked up on NFL speed already.
Yeah, I mean, As a Bucs fan, I can tell you our wide receiver or our cornerback depth chart scares me a little bit. So fair. I wouldn't take too much stock into Brian Thomas toasting our corners. But I mean, we still have the best safety in the league with Antoine Winfield. So if he's toasting our secondary, that's a pretty impressive feat that he's pulling off. So again, we're going to go over our teams here in this mock draft, and then we'll skip to the next mock draft that we're doing. Again, in hindsight, would I have taken a running back in the second round? Probably, but this is why we do mock drafts. I still don't mind my team the way that it turned out so far. Yeah. With James Cook as my anchor running back, I have St. Brown and London to lock down my wide receiver position. Malik Nabers as my main flex, George Kittle and Kyler Murray as my tight end and quarterback advantage, knowing that I'm weaker at the running back position, especially when you're in a shallow league. If you're only going to have one running back through the first like 6-7 rounds in a shallow league, you probably want elite onesies, tight end and quarterback. And for me, I feel pretty good about both George Kittle and Kyler Murray's projection. And again, Jonathan Brooks was my first pick at running back outside of James Cook. In the later rounds, I would just be hammering running backs. I'd be taking Devin Singletary. I'd be taking Tajay Spears. I'd be taking Jaylen Warren. I'd be taking guys like that who can I can feel good about working into my RB1 or my RB2 slot if they really hit big for me. So again, not the greatest team, I would say, relative to the team that you built, but I still feel pretty good about landing the plane after a somewhat rocky start.
For sure. I still think you definitely have a strong team there, especially, I mean, I'm not going to lie, if I knew Rashee Rice is still on the board, probably would have taken him over Love, but that's why we do mock drafts, man. Rashee Rice is poised to be one of the biggest values in drafts this year if this is where he's going on sleeper ADP. For me, more of a double hero strategy, knowing that this is a shallower starting lineup. I feel confident with investing the early picks at the running back position, knowing that, as you guys can see with the rest of the draft between rounds 3 and 8, not having to take another running back for the rest of the draft. Building Nico Collins, Cooper Kupp, Jaden Reed, Brian Thomas as a wide receiver core. Again, for a team that started two running backs, I feel very confident with the wide receivers I was able to coop up. Get two guys that I believe in, specifically at tight end and quarterback there. Kyle Pitts, a guy that I have ranked as a top five tight end. Jordan Love, I mean, if you guys have been following us since the Dynasty offseason, I have gone on record saying that I think he is the dark horse MVP candidate this year. So especially being able to pair him with Jaden Reed, feel really good about what I was able to walk out with.
Yeah, I feel like you and everybody else is saying he's dark horse MVP. So he's not really a dark horse anymore.
Hey, I've been saying it since March, man. You can confirm that. You can confirm.
There's literally an NFL Plus commercial where the guy is like, he's like a casual fantasy player talking to his friends, and he's like, you know, Jordan Love could be a dark horse MVP candidate this year. He literally says it in the NFL Plus commercial that I saw during the Patriots Eagles preseason game yesterday.
Hey, he's maybe saying it now. He probably heard Danny Ladd say that a while back, so. It makes sense.
Yeah, I'll definitely won't argue with you there. But like I said, I think your team turned out better. Going double hero RB in these shallow league formats definitely makes some sense. But I wanted to experiment, maybe deviate from the original strategy and see kind of how it turned out. I was hoping that something would fall back to me in the third, maybe the fourth. Didn't really end up materializing for me. But that is why we do mock drafts. So, Danny, let's pivot into the second mock draft of this video, which is going to be more of your deeper league format, which is the leagues that you and I typically play in, where full PPR, two running back, two wide receiver, two flex. The wide receiver position, a lot more valuable in this type of format than the running back position is. And of course, know your league settings. We kind of went for middle ground here as far as half PPR, two wide receiver, one flex in the first one, and then full PPR, two wide receiver, two flex in the second one. I feel like we're covering like 85, 90% of most of the leagues that people play in. If you're in a sicko four wide receiver, two flex league, I'm sorry, there's just not going to be a lot of content out there for you to consume on that type of format.
Yeah, I believe my home league is actually a three wide receiver, three flex. So it is very gritty, I will say.
Yeah, those league formats, just the wide receiver position is just so extremely disgusting. Valuable at that point in time. Yeah. And same with the overall value there. Somehow CeeDee Lamb falls to 105, but it doesn't really affect us because we end up getting the value that we're looking for. So again, in that 5-8 tier, you're just taking whoever's on the board. And for me, even in a deeper league format, I still prefer Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson because I do like the idea of getting an anchor running back in a deeper league format. I think hero RB just makes so much sense, as we talked about throughout the strategy portion. So I'm going to take Breece Hall with the 106 here and kind of see what happens. Are you going to grab Bijan and kind of run the same thing? Or are you going to grab Chase and try and mix it up here?
In the last mock we did, I did go with Bijan Robinson. So I will mix it up. I'll bid around a receiver to kind of give you guys the thought again, like you did in the first mock, kind of showing you a potential structure. I'll do this one around Jamar Chase. So I'll take him here. Again, I do have Bijan slightly higher in my own rankings, but the mock drafts are for experimenting, and I want to get you guys some good content. So I was planning on doing a hero running back with Devon Achane, but one certain Puka Nacua was able to fall back here at the 2-6. And some bullets are going to be flying in your home league drafts. You'll never know when you'll get a 2-6 Puka Nacua.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I would love to just take Devon Achane and do pretty much exactly what you just did in the last draft, which getting a double hero running back. But again, I'm going to mix it up a little bit and I'm going to grab a hero running back start here. And I'm going to grab Drake London, even though I grabbed him in the last mock draft, and kind of show you guys how that might figure out structure wise. Again, the reason we're experimenting, full disclosure here, if we were in one draft, we would draft off of our rankings. But the reason we're kind of going, hey, in this mock, I'll do this, and this mock, I'll do that. We're experimenting with different builds. We're trying to figure out exactly what we would like our teams best if we were doing those specific strategies, and showing you guys how they all can kind of look executed. So Isaiah Pacheco did fall back to me though, so I think I might have to go in that direction. Danny is probably absolutely sick right now if I take Isaiah Pacheco from him, but
no, I'm good.
Man, I did mention that this is the best spot to do zero from, so you might be the one.
That's what I'm gonna do,
zero. So I'm gonna take Pacheco here, break your heart a little bit, but I guess you're trying to execute the zero.
Yeah, zero RB, Nico Collins. I mean, I'm taking him every single time he falls to the third round. You guys know my thoughts on Nico, so taking him here. And I mean, Jalen Waddle, Mike Evans still on the board. Like, there's a lot of really solid names here, I will say. Debo Samuel.
Yeah, and I don't want to jinx it, but it is possible James Cook falls to you here. So you actually did get James Cook falling back to you. So you could still grab a running back if you wanted to.
Yeah, like, had Hurts fallen, because Hurts actually went the pick before. Actually, for the purpose of the video, because obviously, again, knowing that I am weak at running back, it would just make sense to take James Cook here. Switch Hurts and Cook just to kind of see how it would look like in a zero RB. Because I do want to give you guys
I'll give this team Cook, and then I'll give you get to execute the zero RB to show everyone how it would kind of look properly done.
Yeah, so I'm going with a zero RB here. Grab my three wide receivers, Jalen Hurts again. Maybe it's more realistic if we took Lamar or Stroud off the board. But personally, for me, if Stroud and Lamar were at this spot, I actually just would have went with a different wide receiver. So I want to just give you guys a look about an elite quarterback, because I don't think any of our drafts have actually had an elite quarterback.
No, they haven't, at least at the moment. Kyler's been the guy that we've kind of gravitated towards so far. I'm on the board here with DK Metcalf, Devontae Smith. These two guys pretty clearly stand out to me as the best available receivers on the board. Pittman probably not shortly behind them. I'm going to go with the DK Metcalf because I got two lockdown running backs already, and I have Drake London, who's a clear alpha receiver there. So I'll grab DK Metcalf, another kind of clear alpha receiver. Hopefully something falls back to me in this round. I do have Kyle Pitts on the board, but I do also have Drake London. So I don't know. Again, I don't hate grabbing two players from the same offense, but when it's an offense that's a little bit risky, like the Falcons offense is, I don't necessarily want to just be like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. If the offense is great, I'm going to just grab two players from that offense. I'm scarred from the Falcons offense a little bit. So I don't really want both Drake London and Kyle Pitts, unless I'm getting an obscene value on Kyle Pitts. If Pitts falls back to my 6-7, then obviously I would take him at that point in time. That's probably not going to happen, because you're probably going to take him here. But I'm going to grab a wide receiver again here on the board. I take a lot of T. Higgins. He would be my highest ranked receiver, so that'd be the direction I should go in. But just for the purposes of this, I'm going to grab Amari Cooper here and just grab another. I'm going with clear number one wide receiver theme here at my wide receiver core.
You mentioned, you're like, yeah, you know, maybe Pitts falls back to my 6-7. He's not making it past the 5-7. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, you're executing a zero RB, and obviously the reason you pull out the zero RB tool in your tool belt, as we talk about, is because you just keep getting obscene values at wide receiver, quarterback, and tight end. That's the reason you do zero RB. We don't go into a draft saying, I'm going to do zero RB. We go into a draft saying, I'm going to draft the best players available. And if anything, too, like both of us have said, I would love to get a hero running back, or even potentially a double hero running back in most areas of the board. But when the board dictates that you just grab zero RB targets because nobody is taking wide receivers, quarterbacks, and tight ends appropriately, then that's the direction you pivot to.
Yeah, 100%. Speaking here, continuing the theme, I do have a lot of stud wide receiver assets in a full PPR format. Why not add another piece of an upside? Like, if Romo Odunze hits in this lineup, again, if Rashid Rice has fallen, I would have taken Rashid Rice. But if Romo Odunze hits in my lineup and becomes a steady starter on a week-to-week basis next to Jamar, next to Puka, next to Nico Collins, again, I understand I don't have a running back at this point, and I will inherently be weaker at the running back position. But if I'm starting four set it and forget it top 15 to 20 options on a week to week basis, a wide receiver, it is able to mask that spot. So grab my anchors at the onesies, grab four wide receivers I'm extremely confident about. I mean, this is how you pull it off a zero RB team. But like you said, you have to know the room that you're in. Like, you have to have a Jalen Hurts falling to you. You have to have, you know, for example, Nico Collins falling to me at the 3-7, Puka Nacua falling to you at the 2-6. When everybody's so concerned about taking their running backs and filling them early, that is the type of room where you can cock a zero running back draft strategy. Specifically knowing that the opportunity cost is so against it at the running back position in the mid rounds, you have to know to take wide receivers, quarterbacks, and the onesies early that you're getting extreme value at those spots.
Yeah, it makes no sense to run a zero RB if four of your league mates are also running zero RBs. Like, there's no reason to run zero RB at that point in time. In fact, it's going to be extremely ineffective if you do. The time to run zero RB is when you're the only one running a zero RB. Like, that is the best time to run it, because not only are you going to be strong at those other positions because you're getting good values, you're also probably the one prioritizing running backs the most on the waiver wire using your fab budget during the season and being able to backfill those running backs at that point in time, because presumably your league mates already have good running backs on their team that they draft in the early rounds, and you get to draft and pick up their handcuffs off of the waiver wire every single week when their running backs start getting injured and your team gets stronger as the season goes along. So I'm gonna grab Jayden Reed here. I already grabbed a bunch of like very locked down number one wide receivers, so I'll grab a guy who's a little bit more risky, a little bit more of an upside swing there in Jayden Reed. I'm gonna be back on the clock here. I could go with like a tight end here at this point in the board if I wanted to go with like an Ingram or a Bowers. I haven't yet deviated for a quarterback or for a tight end. I've kind of just gone bog standard flex positions so far. I don't really have a great set of stacking options. I guess I have Jordan Love available to me if I wanted to grab him at this point in time. But to me, Kyler Murray just represents just a much better value compared to Jordan Love because of the rushing upside. So I'm going to grab Kyler here. Yeah, I usually grab my elite onesies at quarterback or at tight end rather than at quarterback. But because, you know, I feel pretty good about Bowers, Ingram, Njoku, Ferguson, whoever could fall back to me, I grab Kyler there. He, to me, represented a bigger tier break at quarterback than the ones at tight end.
Yeah, 100%. I'm back on the clock here in the seventh round, and you could make the case, you know, potentially grabbing my first running back here. I think, like, if you're a Zamir White guy, you know, Javonte, some of those names off the board. I personally don't view a big difference between them in the next tier, so I would actually favor grabbing my first wide receiver out of the flex here and then concocting my zero running back for the next, you know, eighth round to 13th round area. So I'll grab that wide receiver. I went with Brian Thomas last time, so I'll go with JSN this time. And then with these last rounds, I'll be filling out my running back position. So, I mean, you'll see it's a relatively familiar target based on who you took in a couple of those drafts. And perfect. If I'm building a zero RB team, I am shooting for upside to potentially fill my running back slot, one slot for the majority of the year. And I have no question marks that as soon as Jonathan Brooks is healthy, he can be a legitimate top 12 overall running back in fantasy. So if he ends up materializing into an RB1 and I have these wide receivers, these onesies to be able to support him, man, my lineup is virtually complete.
Yeah, I mean, I get kind of why you went JSN, because you have Odunze filling out your second flex currently. Yep. You maybe want a guy who's a little bit safer early on in the year. I may have gone in a different direction than Odunze, gone with like Jayden Reed with my fourth wide receiver selection. And then, no, like, especially if you knew that like Zamir White, I don't think is a great option, but getting guaranteed touches in this, honestly, I mean, Raheem Mostert, Zamir White, Javonte Williams, those guys that have like guaranteed touches under their belt for a zero RB team after you've already filled out your entire starting roster, to me is pretty intriguing. And I think zero RB in general is really hard to execute on, for example, ESPN and Yahoo fantasy formats, where all those Zamir White types go in like round five, round six. But on Sleeper, it's a little bit more in line with Underdog, where the zero RB targets you're getting are outside of like the round seven, round eight range, but you're still getting legitimate touches that you can actually bank on. So I'm back on the board here.
I'll just add one thing on that. I can't do it over JSN personally. Like, there's just no world where I would ever take Zamir White over JSN. Not to mention, again, I don't view a discernible difference between Zamir White versus Jaylen Warren versus Devin Singletary versus Tajay Spears versus Trey Benson, Brian Robinson. There's Chase Brown, especially down the board, Rico Dowdle. There's just so many running backs that I view comparable to Zamir White versus when I take JSN versus the wide receivers in that range. Like, even knowing that the wide receiver position as a whole is relatively at good cost, you're viewing JSN plus Rico Dowdle as a bundle package versus potentially Zamir White and, I mean, if you're lucky, you're looking at Jaylen an A.D. Cole. Mitchell. But yeah, if you're lucky, you're probably looking even like Jacoby Myers, Xavier Leggett based off the ADP.
Yeah, I think when I build out a zero RB, I like banking some guaranteed touches if I possibly can. I'm going to grab McConkey. Again, if I had a hero RB build, like Breece Hall was my only guy, I definitely would have taken Zamir White with that selection, getting those guaranteed RB2 touches there. But again, I didn't take a tight end in this draft, so don't worry too much about that. But the entire tight end board got wiped after my selection. Yeah. David Njoku, Ingram, Bowers, and Ferguson all went. Obviously, I was hoping one of those guys fell back to me. I did recognize that you and the Kittle drafter both had a tight end already. I just needed one of these guys to not take a tight end, and unfortunately, that didn't happen. So I'm going in the direction here of probably punting the tight end position in this league. I would have, you know, maybe taken Goddard with my next pick, or Freiermuth, or Noah Fant, or somebody like that later on in the draft. But I do a double here RB, like I said. Breece Hall and Pacheco feels pretty good. Drake London in the middle of that to be my anchor wide receiver one. Metcalf, Cooper, Jaden Reed, and McConkey behind those guys. And then Kyler Murray is my onesie quarterback that helps me get a positional advantage there. And obviously tight end would be a position I would need to figure out as the season goes along. Punt it at first, maybe stream the tight end position, whatever the case is.
Yeah, 100%. And in terms of my team, again, your prototypical is zero running back draft. Like we said, it wants to be a tool on your tool belt. It's not necessarily the optimal draft strategy in a standard room this year, but if you're getting really good wide receiver value, like Puka Nacua falling to the 206, Nico Collins falling to the 37, Jalen Hurts being gift wrapped at the 46. Now, obviously, we manipulated that in the draft because typically, if the guy who went Hurts there ended up passing on Cook, I would have taken Cook at that spot. But we wanted to kind of show you what a zero running back draft would look like, so we made that change. Cook goes the pick before we make Hurts that pick at the 4-6. Onesie position there with Kyle Pitts, able to fill out through my flex, one plus my flex actually with Odunze and JSN. Grab my RB1 with, I think, top 12 legitimate upside. The only real case why he's even falling to the 8th round right now is the injury concerns. But you mentioned, you know, potentially backfilling with some touches. I can always add, you know, Ezekiel Elliott. I can always add Chase Brown. I can always add Jalen Warren, you know, Tajay Spears, Brian Robinson. There's a ton of guys that I feel confident in their workloads where I can add to potentially offset the risk of Jonathan Brooks as my RB1.
Yeah, exactly. And again, know your format. Know if zero RB is viable in a format like this, full PPR, two running back, two wide receiver, two flex. You can run zero RB in this, and especially if you have a super flex league or a two tight end league or a three wide receiver, two flex league or whatever, zero RB becomes more and more viable in those type of formats. But again, half PPR, one running or two running back, one flex, two wide receiver leagues, zero RB is almost like it's just not optimal this year. It's really hard to run that type of strategy because you don't have the starting spots to be able to handle it. By round five, your whole starting lineup is filled out. And then most people, I would imagine, would start venturing into the dead zone for running backs. And that's obviously not what you want to do in a zero RB draft strategy. But in a deeper format, it can work out the way that Danny executed it here. Again, if you guys did enjoy this video, we basically showed you pretty much every strategy under the sun. We were able to go through and talk about exactly what tier breaks we like, what buckets of the rankings that we like. If you enjoyed this video, if you got some value from it and you pick 5 to 8 in your draft and you got some, you know, insight to what you want to do, leave a like down below. Subscribe to the channel if you're new around here. If you want all of our rankings, all of that is available in our draft guide, our Redraft Rankings Manifesto 3.0, chocked full of quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, tiered-based rankings, overall rankings, our draft-ready cheat sheet. We have our contextualized game log series, which goes back and looks at what they did last year, kind of putting some context to it. We also have the risk ratings, which obviously 75 players deep, tells you exactly how much risk the player has, whether it's their offense, their talent, their injury, stuff like that. All of that is available in our draft guide, and you can get that by going to the link down below in the pinned comment, signing up on Underdog Fantasy, depositing $10 using the promo code FSE, and then within 24 hours, the draft guide will be emailed to you. You'll have access to both our redraft guide that I just kind of told you everything that's in it, our Dynasty Rookie Draft Guide as well, which we did back in April and May, and then also our Dynasty Rookie All 22 Film Breakdowns, which we did back in April as well. All of that is available for just a $10 deposit on Underdog Fantasy. You cannot even buy a Big Mac combo for $10 anymore, and you can win all of your dynasty and redraft leagues basically with all of that advice. So definitely check that out if you're interested. flockfantasy.com, of course. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, that stuff can be found over there. Use code FSE for 7 days for free, 30% off and all that good stuff. As we mentioned at the beginning of this video, we are in Austin, Texas right now. As you guys are watching this, we pre-recorded this before we left. If you guys want to come out to the meetup, it is on Thursday. We'll be at a local bar in Austin. Tickets are available in the link in the description of this video. And you can also just basically just show up as well. Like we're only selling tickets because we want to make sure that people actually show up and RSVP to it. But definitely check that out. We'll all be there. Me, Danny, Mason, the whole Flock Fantasy team will be at that meetup there on the Thursday, the 22nd. So if you guys are interested in that, link down below in the description, like I said. But with that being said, peace out. We'll talk to you soon.